Welcome to Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius, your source for horror, sci-fi, suspense, and all things violent.
Hey, what is going on, guys? Thank you so much for joining me today on Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius, first episode of 2020. I hope your new year is off to a good start. Mine is. Had an awesome vacation. It was tough. I had to let go of doing any writing. I was like, okay, spend time with family. I'll try to squeeze in a little bit here and there, but it wasn't a priority. So it was definitely all about just relaxing, having fun. I ate like shit. Enjoyed myself, though, and got together with the family for Christmas, which was cool. And then for New Year's, on New Year's Day, we didn't do shit New Year's Eve. New Year's Day, though, we went up to Wrightwood to a friend's cabin and had a lot of fun. All we did was play in the snow, made a giant fucking like 6-foot-tall igloo, maybe even a little taller. It took 3 adults and 3 kids to pretty much an entire, let's say we put about 6 hours into that thing. But it was cool. It was fun. Everyone had a good time. The kids didn't even care about going tubing or anything like that because they just wanted to play in the snow in the backyard. So that was cool. On the writing side, things have been doing well. Brightside was on BookBub, sold a lot of copies. It hit, I believe, number 2 in dystopian. I'm not sure. It was one of those, suspense, thriller, something like that. Number 2 in one category on Amazon, number 3 in another. Did really well. And then the next week I had 25 perfect days plus 5 more for free. That did really well. Hit number 1 in single fiction authors for the free on Amazon, and number 2 on another category, dystopian, I think. The next big one coming up is Unlock in the Cage next week, which is on sale for 99 cents. Have big ads for that. That should do well. And then the one that's going to do really well is Twisted Reunion. We play it on here all the time. And that one's going to be, I think, 99 cents. Got another BookBub ad for that, which is on the 17th, I believe. And so that should do really well. So now that I have my marketing plan, things are starting to kick into gear. It's kind of nice having so many books to just to rotate on sales and advertising. So that is super helpful. I'll continue that throughout the year. One of the things I was thinking of was goals for this year. Because the other day I went into my office. I had about an hour of free time. I was like, okay, what do I work on? What I don't want to work on was the brain book, because I jumped back into that. I was like, I know I need to get to it. I just really, it would be way more fun to write fiction. So I was thinking about jumping into a short story, finishing up one of those, or taking a break, or writing something else, working on Try Not to Die. But what I did was I had to take a look. I was like, okay, what is most important, because I only have so much free time. There's only so many things, and even if I had all the time in the world, even if I had all day to write, I'd still only be able to accomplish so much. So I had to take a look at, the first thing I did was look at what's coming out. So this year I need to, I'm going to be publishing Try Not to Die and Brightside coming up. That contest should be next week if Donna finishes up her recording. Untold Mayhem is also coming out in February. And then Beyond Brightside should be coming out by the end of the year. And hopefully maybe another Try Not to Die, but I kind of doubt it. Just because the realities of how long it takes me to finish it up, it takes a while. But in order, now this is what I have to do writing-wise. I was looking at like, okay, what are the things that I definitely, what are most important? How much time would I need to spend on each one roughly? And so what can I accomplish this year writing-wise if all goes well? I figured the traumatic brain injury book probably needs about 4 more months. I only have maybe 15,000 words on it so far, but it's going to be a shorter book. I've read a lot of traumatic brain injury books, and most of them are on the short side. I believe this one's going to be on the shorter side, too. I can only write so much about this shit. And there's so many other books that are already out there. So I think it should be a good book. I think it should be a powerful book. It's definitely been incredibly positive for me to do. But yeah, like I said, about 4 more months on that. And that's not going to be straight through. I'll probably do actual writing for like the next 3 weeks on it. I'm going to catch up on shit that I need to write. And then when the next big event happens, like the next therapy or whatever else, then I'll go back into it and then I'll put some more time into it and write those chapters. But altogether, over the next year, I believe it'll probably take about 4 more months. Beyond Brightside, I'm still waiting on that to get back from my editor. I'm guessing that's about 2 months of solid work, and then that one will be completely finished. The Bridge, which is the Blessed and Broken book 2, the one that comes after Messiah, I will probably need about 4 months on that. I think it's maybe around 40,000 words or so. I have it pretty much laid out, but now it's just about concentrating on it, knocking it out. And then I'll have another 2 months to work on Try Not to Dies. And so that might be, you know, plugging in to Try Not to Die in Watts. I'm working on that first chapter for like a week. And then in Deathfest, maybe I'll spend a couple weeks on that. And so you'll just be popping in and out, working with these different authors. Definitely not a priority. I want to get at least one. The goal is to get one or two of those books out a year. But, you know, I can only do so much. I really would like to knock out these. Definitely want to get Brightside out so I could just be done with that series. And then start working on the Blessed and Broken series. But I also have like something I'm not going to be able to even touch this year, or I might do just for if I go really fast on something, I have a little bit of free time, then maybe I'll play with the trilogy that I have, the fantasy trilogy that I was developing with my daughter. So that's something I definitely want to work on. I got the giant fucking tattoo of it on my back. So eventually I need to write that thing. So that is the goal. But the nice thing is, if I do all those things, then the following year, I'll be releasing 3 more books. I'll be releasing the Brain book, the Bridge, and then also at least one Try Not to Die. So that's my goal. If I could continue that, if I could pump out 2 to 3 books a year, then I think I will be pretty happy with that. I was also thinking about other goals that I have. One of them is to earn my brown belt in jiu-jitsu. I've been starting to train at Gracie Baja. It's been fun, but I've also had injuries. The other day, I was so pissed at myself. I made the mistake. I was being a nice guy. I let up on a fucking white belt, let him do a move, and then he fucking fell back on an arm bar, and I maybe got a little tear in my bicep. But again, not his fault. He didn't know, and I shouldn't have just given it to him. So that was my bad. But I'll be back in there today. My arm feels pretty good. Hopefully it's healed. Hoping to work out between them and a couple times in Pasadena. If I could get in 4 sessions a week, then that would be great. I think if I were to do that by the end of the year, I should get to my brown belt. I also want to become fluent in German. I'm going to travel to Germany with my family this year. We're going to check out some heavy metal festivals and just see Europe. So that's definitely one of my goals. Want to get better at guitar. I practice on that a little bit. That's not a huge goal of mine, but I do want to keep that up. And then the last is to develop the Try Not to Die mobile escape room. And one more thing. And the mobile escape room should be fucking really cool. My friend's working on the business plan for that. I do think it's going to happen. Not sure when, but it should be sometime in 2020. And the last thing is the possibility of getting another 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu in Whittier or in this near area. We had one at the youth center, but they had to shut down. They moved away a little ways, too far to go. So we're going to try to attempt that. So that is what's going on for next year. So it'll be a busy year. Should be a fun year. What's not so fun right now is the actual writing. Right now I'm writing the Brain book, and I'm on a chapter where I get to divulge all kinds of shit about me that you did not know. not very flattering stuff. Go into lots of my violence and my attraction to crime, recklessness, destructiveness. Fucking, I was suicidal most of my life. I didn't give a fuck. I was very, very dangerous. Looking for danger, looking for excitement, and made a lot of bad choices. But I go into that a little bit in the book because I want to show people, like, hey, not everyone with TBI has these issues. You know, and I'm not saying TBI has definitely caused these issues. I don't think it may have contributed to mine. I don't know whether or not it did. But what I'm doing is saying, hey, look, let's take an honest look at ourselves. This is some shit that I've done. This is stuff I need to be aware of. I know I have this potential for fucking violence, for danger, for all this other shit. So I need to be aware of that. I need to take care of myself. If I don't take care of myself, shit could escalate, get really bad. No one would like that. Except for me, my enemies. My enemies would probably like that. They like to see me crash and burn. But fuck them. No. I love my enemies too. Actually, no, I don't. Fuck them. Hopefully I don't have too many enemies. Although, I just got a 1-star review on Brightside. I've definitely had some negative reviews on Brightside. People either really like it a lot or they fucking hate it. So yeah, she assumed that I was a 14-year-old boy, hormonal boy, because of my obsession with writing about female nipples. So yeah, she got me. She figured me out. So there's always going to be someone that doesn't like something, but whatever, not a big deal. I shared that yesterday on social media. I blocked out her name, of course. I'm not trying to shame anybody, but just to let people know, hey, that's the kind of shit that's out there. That's the kind of responses you'll get. That's just part of being an author. You just got to roll with it. And then same thing with Messiah. Some people fucking absolutely love it. Other people hate it. So can't please everybody. The main thing is just trying to find the kind of people that will be attracted to it. So a lot of that has to do with advertising and what groups you're attracting and all that good stuff. But I figure eventually we will figure that out. Another, speaking of Brightside, I've decided that is going to be the first book that I translate into German. I won't be doing the translation because I could barely fucking read German right now, and it would be awful. So I just hired someone. They're going to start translating it. Brightside is currently in Spanish. I need to do a better job of marketing that. There's a big sale coming up, I think next week, for the Spanish edition. But yeah, for Brightside, though, we are going to be doing it in German. I think that should take about a month or two, and then I will start promoting it. So when we go there in, I think we're going in June, I can do some actual, some events, some reading events. And I will read it in German, which should be fun. So just a chapter. That way everyone can laugh at me. The other thing I wanted to go into was some brain stuff. I've been talking about the brain stuff. I've been doing as much as I can for my brain, taking supplements, did my functional medicine, which definitely helped a lot, getting my blood chemistry right. All the traumatic brain injuries I had definitely caused a lot of inflammation in the brain, caused me to not be able to regulate my hormones. And so all those, like my blood chemistry is now pretty much right on. I've been hitting the emotional side with therapy, which has been big, like cold therapy, writing's therapy, music's therapy, all these different therapies, trying to kind of deal with the emotional side, and that's helped a lot, and also including meditation and yoga. And then the functional side and the structural side of it was the NUCA, the chiropractic. I got my atlas fixed, which was pretty severely rotated and causing a lot of less blood flow to the brain. So I fixed that with NUCA, which is awesome. And now, when I started out, it was twice a week, then went to once a week, and then every other week. And now it's pretty much in good shape, and I only have to go get checked once a month. And because of it, I feel like I don't even need regular chiropractic anymore. So that's been awesome. And then the final thing I've been doing is the neurofeedback. That was something that I wasn't expecting to do. The only reason I went and did it was just to check it out for the book. My nephew Ryan had a post-concussion syndrome. The prior year he had a really bad concussion, I think from wrestling. He was having a lot of issues, and so my sister took him in there, and she said it turned everything around for him. And so I was like, okay, I gotta at least check it out. I don't know whether or not I need it, but I'm gonna go check it out. I did the IVA testing, which measures your attention and response, and then the brain mapping, which shows where your brain is, all the different five different waves or whatever. And I was able to see immediately, is like, oh yeah, I do need this. I definitely had traumatic brain injuries. It's showing. And my scores were much lower than they should have been for a man my age with a normal brain. And so seeing that made me accept. I was like, okay, yeah, I do have brain injuries, but let's see what we can do with them. I wasn't super hopeful, but I will put these up on the screen in case you are watching this and want to see. We're not going to look at the actual mapping of the brain. I'm just going to focus on the IVA, standard scale analysis. So this is a test that you had to do. It's super fucking boring. Takes about 15 to 20 minutes, and you're just clicking on, when you hear or see the number one, you click on it, and you don't click on it or when you hear or see the number two. And that's all it is. So it's just ones and twos either popping up on the screen or the lady saying it, and you have to click it. So super boring. I think it's kind of meant to be. It's meant to see if you keep your attention. So on the first testing, which I'm up putting up right now, my auditory was super low. It was 81, and much lower than it should have been. My visual was 110, which I think was okay. And then on the response side, we had 91 and 104. We tested it again 2 months later after doing 20 sessions of the neurofeedback, and my auditory jumped up quite a bit to 104, which is almost what a normal man should have, and then 108 on the visual. The auditory response went up quite a bit to 104, and then the visual stayed about the same at 103. But what was really nice was on this last one, though, it was so much better. My auditory jumped to 123, which is above where it should be for the average male. And then the visual jumped up a bunch too. So 117, then auditory 96, and 109. So all together, these numbers definitely make me feel good. My speed on my auditory is incredibly better. 140 compared to 118. So my brain is just functioning way, way better. And the other thing that they're looking at on this and that they can measure is whether or not you would, I don't know if this is the right terminology, I don't know if it's qualifying or whatever, but they have it on here, attention factor and then impulsive hyperactivity factor. When I first did it, I was positive for both of those. So I was positive for, I think, ADD and ADHD, or whatever the fuck it is. On the next time, I was only had it for the attention factor. And then on this last time, I was negative for both. So now I wouldn't even qualify for that. My attention is and focus is so much better, feeling way better. And that is why I am doing another 40 sessions. This time we're going to work on emotional regulation, which has already felt like I feel like such a different person than I did when I started this 4 months ago. And I think it's a combination of all the different factors. But if I had just done one of these things, it wouldn't have been nearly as effective. If I hadn't done the Nuka, I don't think I'd be doing as well with this. If I wasn't doing the emotional stuff, then this stuff probably wouldn't matter as much. And so I think you, and then and the same thing with all the hormones and the supplements. So I think you have to hit this disease or whatever from a lot of different angles and just view yourself as, you know, a whole being. We aren't just our blood work. We aren't just our body, you know, our physical body. So it is a combination. Got to look at it through all these different areas. But I couldn't be happier. I started doing the next set of 40. We're working on the emotional regulation. Also working on heart rate and breathing, making those coherent, and which is going to help with health. It's something I work on my own as well. And so I'm excited to see what happens. The other thing that was kind of cool that I did yesterday was I went and got high before going in. And I already talked with my doctor about it and told them what was happening. But I wanted to see how cannabis affected my brain right then. I believe Joe Rogan did this with Andrew Hill, who my doctor works with. It's the same program. So I had about 40 milligrams of a sativa edible, which is probably, that's probably about like an average dose for me. I usually don't do it early in the morning like that, but we wanted to see. And so on the IVA test, I could tell that I was making mistakes more than usual, but my scores were still pretty high. Haven't got them back yet, but they looked at them. So my scores were high on the IVA, but just not as high as this last one. So I definitely was making some mistakes. I'm anxious to see what the brain waves show, because one thing I was able to notice, I was in a much, much more relaxed state. When they're mapping your brain, you have to do at least 5 minutes with your eyes open, focusing on something a little bit lower, like just a dot, a circle, and then 5 minutes with your eyes closed, and you're supposed to relax. And I realized with the relaxing, I was able to completely relax. I felt much better. So part of this was to see, you know, if I was going to have, if the results came back and it had shown me that, you know what, cannabis is not good for my brain, it's slowing me down, it's terrible for my focus, it's doing all these negative things, then that would probably get me, that'd probably be enough for me to definitely reduce my usage even more or completely stop it. But the other thing is like, no, I think what it's going to do is show me, okay, shit, I already know, like, okay, when I need to focus and do a certain type of work that's going to require a lot of attention, you know, I don't need to use it. If I want to become really creative and just write and go into it, maybe I had a stressful day, that's a perfect time to do it. So I think that's what it's going to do for me. And maybe next week's episode, we'll go into that a little bit more. I know I have a lot of friends who smoke weed, who are curious, a lot of people who don't do it. And that's another thing I like to show too. You know, I'm not saying cannabis is the best thing ever. I am saying I've been doing it for 32 years. I think I'm intelligent on brain games. I can score super high. And that's while being high. So it's all on what you use, how you use it. If you're going to be a piece of shit, you're going to be a piece of shit. If, you know, if you want to be a stoner on the couch, fucking whatever, you know, it's like, it's just, it's going to amplify, I think, whoever you already are. For me, I like to use it to relax. I think it's definitely helped with all these issues. I've had fucking traumatic brain injuries pretty much. I mean, my first back concussion was when I was 7, but from, let's say, 13 or 14 on, like, all I was doing was fucking taking bad blows to my brain for a large portion of my life. And then again, like, unlocking the cage, I had so many concussions during that when I was in my 40s. So I scrambled my brain, but I'm still able to function. And I think cannabis is a big part of what got me through that. Whether or not it's still necessary, we'll see. I'm guessing I will continue to use it, if nothing else, just for fun every once in a while. But it'll probably be part of my daily or weekly routine. So we will see what happens with that. All right, guys. I need to get some work done. As you can tell, I got a lot of shit to do. I am motivated. I want to get this done. And I'm going to go train at Gracie Baja today at 11 o'clock. So I will leave you guys with a story. Oh, you know what? I forgot to. I think last week I read, or 2 weeks ago, I read the Try Not to Die at Bright Side. The start of it. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I told you I would tell you the correct answer. So if you remember, what's her name? Becky was in a room. She hears a murder next door. And Wayne, the serial killer, gives her a warning and tells her she better stay in bed or he's going to kill her. Her choices were block the door and call the boots, do as Wayne says and stay in bed, or run for Sheriff Melvin, who is one of us. All right, so as part of this contest, you have to guess as many correct answers as possible to win. This is your freebie for my loyal listeners. You do as Wayne says and stay in bed. Boring decision, but you do something else, you get your ass killed. So there's that. That's your little freebie, your little thank you for being a loyal listener. And today's short story we will end with, I think today we're going to do Hit the Lights. My son, who is 6, has been having, especially after vacation. On vacation, he wanted to sleep with us the entire time. He doesn't like sleeping on his own. I definitely remember that fear of something being in my room. I've always had a fucking terrible imagination. I'm guessing he does too. And so this story is about that. The story is called Hit the Lights. It is narrated by TQuil, and you can find it in Twisted Reunion. Hope you guys enjoy it, and I will talk to you next week. Peace.
Hit the Lights. A low squeak woke Teddy. He thought the noise had come from the mouse in his dream, a furry little rodent cornered by a cat. Another squeak. It was coming from somewhere in his room. Teddy wasn't about to take the covers off his head. He concentrated on the new noise, a high-pitched screech that penetrated the bound-up nerves in Teddy's little back. The sound his parents' closet door made whenever he inched it open to peek at his gifts. Just as he would if it were one of his mom's sacks from Sears, Teddy had to look. If something was coming for him, he needed to know. Thanks to his broken leg, he couldn't run away, but if he saw something, he could scream for help. Ever so slowly, Teddy pulled the comforter off his head. The second his eyes were exposed, the squeaking stopped. He sat up in the bed, kept the comforter pulled tight against his neck, ready to snap it back over his head if anything leapt out from the darkness. Teddy looked toward the closet door, half expecting to see a set of razor-sharp teeth, but his eyes hadn't adjusted to the pitch black of his room, and he couldn't see past the foot of the bed. The light of the moon would have illuminated everything if he hadn't closed the shutters and pulled down the blinds. He was too much of a chicken to leave his window open. The thought of only one pane of glass between him and the demons lurking outside was enough to keep Teddy up for hours. He knew if he left the shutters open and the blinds up, he'd wake up with a creature's face pressed against the glass. That thought alone was the reason Teddy's mom had to wash his sheets twice a week. Like every other kid from the neighborhood, Teddy hated the dark. That's when all the bad stuff happened in their tiny town. No one went outside at night, not even the adults. You didn't leave your doors unlocked, and above all, you didn't let evil watch you sleep. Tina Jonas and Danny Kincaid found that out. So did Ricky Oliver. Teddy looked toward the window, saw the shutters still shut. Another squeak from the closet. He jerked his head toward the sound, ready to scream for his mom. He didn't want to wake her again, but that was a hell of a lot better than waking up in one of the bags they'd found by the Harlan River. Now that his eyes had adjusted to the darkness, Teddy could see the Obi-Wan Kenobi poster above his dresser. The closet next to it was open. A 6-inch strip of blackness stood out against the pale white wall. He never left it open and checked it at least twice every night before he crawled into bed. He waited for the closet door to move again and noticed his wheelchair leaning against the bedroom door. When he'd gone to sleep, it had been just to the left of his bed. It must have rolled on the hardwood floor. That was what the squeaking was. It used to belong to his uncle Matt, its wheels now old and rusty. Teddy's dad had left him one lesson before he abandoned them. He always told them there was a rational explanation for everything. The mind was a powerful tool, able to paralyze a person with fear or free them through logic. It was all in how you used it. Teddy studied the open closet. His big, puffy red coat hanging inside wasn't a demon. The two tiny stubs wrapped around the door near the floorboards weren't fingertips. They were probably scratches he hadn't noticed before, or more likely his batting glove had slipped halfway out the door. Teddy concentrated on what looked like half a head peeking out from the top shelf. It wasn't moving. It was a stocking cap. It had been his imagination. That wasn't a demon crouched on the ground near his stinky tennis shoes. It was probably just his football. He glanced at his wheelchair and wished he could Jedi it back over to his side. With his wheelchair all the way by the door, he couldn't get out of bed if he wanted to, at least not without crawling around like a baby. He would have to call out, wake his mom, and have her get it for him. While she was in here, she could also turn on the lights and make sure the closet was safe. His mom would be pissed, though. She'd told him just to let her get some sleep. That's all she seemed to do since the murders began. Teddy pulled the comforter over his head and settled back into bed. A faint slithering sound came from below, a light tug at the end of the bed sheet. Teddy lowered the comforter to his neck and waited. The room was silent. He squeezed his eyes and told himself to stop being such a baby. A loud whoosh near the window. Before Teddy could blink, the closet door creaked and something moved under his bed. The bedsheet grew tighter across his chest and broken leg. Then it started to slide right off him. Teddy yanked the comforter over his head and screamed, "Mom! Mom, hurry!" A door creaked open at the end of the hallway. He breathed a sigh of relief, and then gagged as he inhaled the rancid air. The putrid smell hadn't come from him. Even if he ate 3 bowls of chili with broccoli on the side, he couldn't dream of ripping a fart so foul. Heavy footsteps pounded down the hallway. Not wanting to look like a sissy, Teddy pulled back the comforter and sat up. The sour stench made him want to puke. He looked to the window, still closed and shuttered. Right below the sill, however, was a dark brown pile. He supposed it was possible he crumpled up his corduroy jacket and tossed it on the floor, but he didn't remember doing that. The door opened. It pushed the wheelchair out of the way. Irritated and half asleep, his mother asked, "What's going on in here?" "Something moved it." Teddy tried to keep the panic out of his voice. "Turn on the light." She stood in the dark doorway, her silhouette just visible.
"Wow, it smells like you shit yourself."
Teddy couldn't believe his ears. His mom had never cursed.
"It wasn't me." "What are you talking about?" "The smell. It wasn't me. It's from over by the window." "I can't smell anything," she said. "I said it sounds like you scared yourself."
Teddy wondered how he could have misheard her.
No, I just had to pee and my chair rolled away. Can you bring it over and turn on the light?" "Teddy, you screamed." "I just need my chair. I gotta go real bad." "That's what you get from watching all those horror movies. That's why you're scared of the dark." "I'm not scared of the dark."
He'd been planning to keep with the wheelchair story, but he knew she wasn't buying it.
"I heard something." "Do you need to start using your Mickey Mouse light again, Teddy Bear? What would your friends say if they saw that?" "I don't need it. This is the 5th time this week you've woken me. I need my sleep, honey. I'm sorry, Mom."
He looked about the dark room and couldn't see or hear anything strange. It had only been his nerves.
"Can you just bring my chair over, please?" "No problem."
She staggered away from the doorway and wheeled the chair over to his bed. Another whoosh by the window, the room filled with the rotten stench of a septic tank. Teddy yelled, "Turn on the light!"
"What's the matter with you, Teddy?" his mother said. "You're going to give me a heart attack screaming like that." "By the window. You didn't hear it? You can't smell it?" "There's nothing here. You need to understand there's nothing to be afraid of. Your dad was a pussy, too."
Even though his dad left them one night without so much as a word, his mom had never talked badly about him. And regardless of how scared he was, Teddy wasn't about to let her start now.
"No, he wasn't." "Yes, he was. He didn't like the dark. Said he used to see things." That doesn't make him a pussy." "Don't you ever use that language in this house. And don't ever say anything bad about your father. Your dad was a great man." "But you..." "I said he was afraid of the dark. That doesn't make him less of a man." You called him a pussy. You're worrying me, honey. Maybe I should take you to the doctor.
Something bumped the bottom of the bed. Teddy screamed,
"Turn it on!"
Holding one hand to her forehead, his mom reached up and pulled the chain that switched the light to its lowest setting. She kept her hand up to block the glare and said,
"Happy?"
Teddy looked down. What he had hoped was his jacket was a grotesque, jelly-like mass quivering in the corner. The foot-high, shit-brown lump opened its one eye and stared at him. It oozed forward, leaving a corrosive trail that ate through the boards. Teddy pointed at the blob just as it opened its mouth and emitted that same whooshing sound. He was barely able to keep down his dinner as the noxious aroma passed over him. His mom followed his finger and looked toward the corner.
"What is it, Teddy?" "There! Right there!"
She stepped toward the corner and looked directly at the disgusting creature, keeping her hand on her forehead the entire time.
"What? What is it? A spider? I don't see it."
With his mom out of the way, Teddy had a clear view of the closet door. Four clawed fingers were wrapped around the white door, sliding it open. Above the hand, a misshapen head peeked out. The impish creature smiled at Teddy, its row upon row of tall, needle-thin teeth glistening in the light. Teddy scrunched back against the headboard and yanked the comforter to his throat.
"Behind you! Watch out!"
She stood slowly, one hand holding her forehead, the other closing the top of her blue terry cloth nightgown.
"You're scaring me, Teddy."
The spindly-limbed imp crept out of the closet. The crud creature oozed closer. Teddy couldn't scream. His mom took a step toward the bed. The monsters moved with her. Blood drooled out of the corner of her dark red lips and dripped off her chin. The moment a drop hit the floor, a midnight black, oil-slicked snake shot out from underneath the bed. The four-foot-long serpent lapped at the scarlet puddle, its barbed tail thumping against the floor in celebration. Teddy screamed for her to run. She just looked at him.
"Honestly, I don't know who was worse, you or your father."
The serpent wound between his mother's legs. She didn't seem to notice as it coiled around the bottom of her calf, leaving a thick black trail across the terry cloth. Without warning, it shot under the full-length gown. His mother began to moan in rhythm with the serpent's barbed tail as it swished back and forth on the hardwood floor. Before Teddy could pull the covers over his face, the imp rushed forward, his bony claw-like fingers spread high above his head, ready to dig them into his mother's back. He ripped the nightgown off Teddy's mother, revealing a skeleton-thin creature with thick black quills covering its chest, arms, and legs. Now that it was exposed, the creature removed its hand from his mom's forehead. The thin piece of flesh and scalped hair fell to the ground with a wet thud. The crud creature rushed over and sat on top of his mom's face as the snake thing buried itself further between the imposter's legs, its tail whipping around in a frenzied circle inches above the ground. Continuing the facade, the monster used his mother's voice as it lumbered towards him.
"I told you everything was okay. Now go to sleep, Teddy Bear. But first, give Mommy a nice kiss."